A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Unrivaled 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Hey, our show is always brought to you by G2G Bars. These are amazing protein bars. They taste fantastic. Local company. Quick and tasty and twist and quakey.
But they're
getting two earthquakes today, by the way.
Where? Here?
St. George just had a 4.4 today.
What?
Yeah, man. This is all real. Let's get JJ turned up over here. Jeremiah Jensen joining us on the program. JJ, did you have a weekend? Did you guys do anything over the weekend? I love football season. Right?
It was a little busy this weekend, yes. But man, was it fun. A lot of stuff to...
A historic weekend.
It apparently was in the NFL. Yes.
Well, we were just watching...
How fun was Sunday?
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things where you take that Sunday nap and you wake up and go, what the heck just happened? That's exactly what happened to me.
An earthquake.
That's what Ravens fans are doing right now.
And
Raiders fans.
I was watching the Raiders-Cardinals game, and I start going, because my brother-in-law has the NFL ticket, and I was like, hey, man, watch this game. It was 20-0. I went, awesome, good for them. You know what? The Raiders are going to figure things out. And I woke up, and the Raiders are doing Raiders things. I wake up, and Tua Tagovailoa throws for 6 touchdowns. Tyreek Hill catches 200 yards passing. And it was the first time a team came back from 21 down in the fourth quarter in the last 712 NFL games.
So it was rare what we saw.
It was rare what we saw. And then you threw on top of that.
Yeah.
Another little tasty tidbit.
Yeah, here's this stat. Yesterday was the first time in NFL history that there were two games where a team was down 20-plus points at halftime, and those two teams came back to win. It's never happened in NFL history.
Like all of history.
Go back. When did the league start?
Before they started.
19-odd something. Yes.
All of that, all the way back.
They've been recording, since the league was established. Isn't that crazy?
That is insane. It really is insane.
Pre-league, post-queen.
Think about it,
So that's what I think about things. Pre-NFL, post-Queen Elizabeth.
Post-Queen.
Macy rest.
Good point.
Scott and I spent way too much time today watching
watching her get buried.
It's 1 minute was too much.
But isn't it so fascinating though? I mean,
we clicked on.
Never mind. We'll go on to something.
I said, let's look at this, and it was a 9-hour YouTube video. I go, well, let's go ahead and not watch.
Get
the
to
full
the end.
9 hours.
Yeah. Get to the end.
Gotta have something better to do, right?
So, there you go. JJ, it was a huge weekend. That's where we're going to start things off, as we always do, with the cut. We'll do NFL. We'll do college. Let's do all of it here with JJ. Let's jump into the cut.
There we go. The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut presented by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, they get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utes all trust. Let me see here. Oh, uofuhealth.org is the website. So here's what we're going to do. Let's go locals in the NFL first.
Okay.
We just played last hour Devin Lloyd's interception. They get a shutout in his second week of being with the Jaguars. I don't think it's a – I just say, look, you got Devin Lloyd, and then you got a shutout week two. And he's already performing – He had the most tackles by a rookie in the NFL since 2019 in week one. And he's been really, really good so far. So aside from Devin Lloyd's performance, what else do we see across the league here from the locals?
Well, I mean, we mentioned the Ravens debacle yesterday and their failure to finish that game off. But in the midst of that is a Marcus Williams is just playing out of his mind. Two more interceptions yesterday.
Right.
You're looking at, you know, among the free agent signings in the NFL, he's looking like one of the best. And the Ravens are getting their money's worth out of Marcus Williams. He's got three interceptions after 2 weeks. Right now, he's, you know, it's early in the season, but he's looking like making his first Pro Bowl. I think he's been outstanding. So I would start with Marcus Williams. Another guy that I'm really impressed with is Cody Barton. Now, Cody was in a tough situation this year because we all know the Seahawks are in a bit of a transition.
You're trying to take over for one of the best that's ever been in the game, by the way.
Another local player, Bobby Wagner, who also has been great with Rams, by the way.
Not just a Seahawk, not just an all-time great Seahawk. He's one of the great linebackers of all time.
I agree with that.
He is amazing.
I think Bobby Wagner is going to be a first-ballot Hall of Famer.
For sure.
And so Cody Barton has this pressure of stepping in and replacing one of the best. We just mentioned how great Bobby Wagner is. I think you could argue he's the best linebacker in Seattle Seahawks history. So that's big shoes to fill. And so far after two games, he's filled them pretty nicely. I know they didn't get to win yesterday.
I'll forgive you. Did you forget about Boz?
Look, everybody forgot about Boz after Bo Jackson trucked him on Monday Night Football.
Boz hopes you forget about Boz.
Yeah.
You mean the Dr. Pepper
He's great in the Dr. Pepper commercials. I think he's a great actor.
That's all that matters.
Not a great NFL football player.
Well, he was acting as a football player. So he did a great
Brilliant.
Job.
My heaven.
So Alex brought some. Are there others? Or is
oh
that...
gosh, I could keep going down the list.
Julian
I think there's
Blackman
a lot of guys.
Nice PBU
Julian, the Colts have issues, but Julian's back after the Achilles injury. Taysom didn't have as big a role yesterday. In fact, I think he should have had more of a role. To be honest with you, after
he did
how
get
well
ejected,
he did.
Though, right?
He did not get kicked out of that game. Although some guys
Everybody
did.
Else did.
Just going down the list of guys. Really, those are guys that have stood out so far this season.
How about Garrett Bowles?
Yeah, I mean he's the there. Broncos stink. don't get me started on the Broncos. Nathaniel Hackett might be the worst hire in Broncos history, and that's saying
ouch.
A lot.
Why do you think that is? Just not prepared to be a head coach?
I think hiring a quarterback coach with no previous head coaching experience is just such a stretch. I don't know why. I feel like there were better candidates. I mean, why didn't you? I mean, Nathaniel Hackett didn't even call plays in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Why didn't you go give Eric Bieniemy a chance, a guy who played at the University of Colorado, who has a history of calling plays now in the league and has respect in the league?
Too smart of a deal.
Dan Quinn was available, who had success with the Falcons.
Could you do that, though, if you're the Broncos? Could you really hire someone from the Kansas City? I mean that in all seriousness.
Well, I mean, the ego got in the way of them not hiring Kyle Shanahan a few years ago because Joe Ellis still had a beef with Mike Shanahan. Which is just ridiculous because Kyle Shanahan would have been a home run hire
in the NFL.
For the Broncos 3 years ago. Instead, they hired somebody who also, again, had no previous head coaching experience and didn't. The Broncos have made some mistakes. Let me just say that. I could go on. I don't want to spend the entire show.
Was Russell Wilson a mistake?
He might end up being one.
I mean, because you're seeing a lot of these old guys. I mean,
was Seattle
Matt
so
Ryan
easily
tough,
willing to let their best, one of the best quarterbacks in franchise history go? I'm starting to question it now.
That's a conspiracy theory right there.
It might be.
Let's move on from the NFL to the college football games that happened over the weekend here locally. Of course, Utah State off, but Utah gets a win against San Diego State. It was impressive in the sense that it, from top to bottom on the defensive side of things, it looked like that Kyle Whittingham defense was the Kyle Whittingham attitude of a defense that you are normally used to seeing. And you feel like now that there's enough of a chip on their shoulder for the rest of the year that the Utes but again, the slow starts, not just on the season, but Scott was talking about this, how total they'd scored 10 points all the way through the first quarters of the entire year, and then they scored like 140 or whatever it is in the second quarter overall so far.
Second and third quarters.
Slow starts in these games, it's just it's a weird thing. I don't know how it works.
I am going to be overly critical of this Utah team because I believe they are good enough to be great. So I think Utah fans might hear me what I'm about to say and think, man, lay off, man. Like they're 2-1. Like I feel like this team is one of the best teams in the country, talent wise, and I feel like this team should win the Pac-12 and should go win a Rose Bowl this year. I think they're that good. They have enough talent. They got NFL talent on their team all over the place. So I'm going to be overly critical. Their slow starts is mind-boggling. I think that, you know, and it's hard to be tough on Cam because he had a record 4 touchdown passes against San Diego State, right? That, I mean, that's pretty good.
He was bad early.
But really let's be honest. What was going on in the first quarter? I think we expect, and I think it's fair to ask more of Cam because he showed what he can do when he's dialed in. But what's up with the slow starts and why was he, you know, Scott, you might be more qualified to answer that question than me.
I'll take a stab at it.
Okay.
And I'm not defending anything because so San Diego State runs a defense that Utah doesn't see very often, right? It's at 3-3-5, whatever. And they have guys coming from all different, you know, directions. And so you know it intellectually, like your game plan, you practice against it. But when you don't see it a lot in game situations, you're just not quite sure.
Okay.
You know, and you play because there's a trust factor because you'll be a guy where you won't have anyone over you, and that but you know someone's coming to you. And so you have to so it's hard to be aggressive sometimes when you're not really seeing the guy per se that you're supposed to get. And so you could kind of see there was just a little, they were a little disjointed a little bit, but what Cam wasn't comfortable. Like he was not comfortable in the pocket early. And there was, you know, it's one of those things where a couple of times a guy gets through and then you kind of leave early because you think that guy might be coming through again.
Yeah.
And that's what that defense is built on is, we want to create where we get penetration in the backfield and disrupt pass plays and run plays, and that it's all predicated on that philosophy. And early, I thought Utah up front was actually handy. One of the things I've been most impressed with this year is the offensive line has played consistent all 3 games.
Mm-hmm.
They've been.
I agree with that.
But Cam was just he was off, like he was just, and you could just see that he was nervous in the pocket, and I really believe he just wasn't comfortable, because all of a sudden it just clicked in, and once it clicked in, he was just lights out.
Yeah, second, third, fourth quarters, exactly what you'd expect from Cam.
So I wonder if it's like, okay, let's just kind of feel this out early, and there's this not decisive or definitive attacking go after people early on in the games, and they're going to need to be that way and have that mindset as they get into conference play. They've got to start a lot faster than they have been.
The slow start killed them against Florida. I think a slow start against a team like Oregon State,
right,
UCLA, USC could be a problem for them, right? So,
well, because then you're fighting just to catch up.
You're digging out of a hole, and
it's like BYU last week. They were just fighting to get out of the hole the whole game.
Well, let's go there then. So the Oregon game. BYU comes out flat, and it was the first 6 drives in a row by Oregon ended up in 5 touchdowns and a field goal. And BYU, the thing that really stalled, I think, everything were these 4th down conversions, where they were 3-for-3 on the season going into that game. They get themselves in a weird spot because the first 2 that they got, there was you're kind of wondering, should they have gone for that, especially considering the handing off to Chris Brooks ended up not being something that worked at all day, you know, across the board. Going for those 2 first half, 4th down conversions were just gut punches. I feel like there are turnovers where a guy will get a pick or something like that. A turnover on downs is almost more demoralizing because you have some momentum, or at least some semblance of momentum, or you think to yourself, we've got to draw a line in the sand, and then somebody else just takes it and just wipes it all out from you.
Yeah, I think for BYU, I was surprised that they didn't win the line of scrimmage battle against Oregon, which was really concerning to me. Coming off a week of where, you know, it wasn't perfect against Baylor, especially on the offensive side. I felt like the offensive line was not very good against Baylor, but they were good enough. They really got exposed in this game. Now, look, let's be honest. BYU's defense was missing 2 defensive line starters. That was devastating, especially missing Tyler Batty, one of the team leaders on defense.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, they got gashed in the run game. And Oregon didn't do anything dynamic offensively. They were just they beat them with a base offense and just did their thing. And it was really concerning that BYU couldn't make tackles in the open field. They couldn't get the stops that they needed. And then on offense, the offensive line, which we came in hyping all season long, just didn't get it done against Oregon. It was an execution issue in my mind. So it was really concerning on both sides of the ball. the lack of execution, missed tackles, stuff that's really basic that BYU should be able to do. And it just felt like this team had a hangover after a Baylor game. And again, it feels like every independent schedule, they have this big Power 5 win they get, and then all of a sudden they get a couple injuries, and all of a sudden they lose momentum. You know, that's really concerning. It feels like the same pattern that we've seen from this team for the last decade.
So Alex brought this up in one of our earlier segments, and it was quite a powerful statement. And I'm curious how you feel about this. Is in an independent schedule like you're talking about, BYU has this loss. And does it feel like it kind of relegates them to some early season bowl game, and you know, and it's just does it take all the excitement out of what to look forward to the end of the season?
This is why no one's going to miss independence.
Right.
It's always been the problem, and we've had several seasons since they went independent in the last decade where the hype builds, they get off to a great start, they win those Power 5 games. Remember the year they beat Wisconsin, the year they beat Tennessee and USC. I mean, they're all this hype, and then they get crushed by Washington, and then all of a sudden, who cares now? That I hate that that's been the case for this team because they deserve better.
Yeah.
But that's just the reality of it. And now, how does this team respond after losing this Oregon game? Which, you're right, the reality is it may have taken them out of consideration for a New Year's Day bowl game. It's just how this works. There's so many good teams in Power 5 that it's tough to get one of those bids. So what's this team's motivation moving forward? Do the injuries continue to stack up? Can they get healthy? Can they get Puka and Gunner back? When is that going to happen? Can they get healthy defensively? Because as the injuries pile up, again, this problem occurs. We see the twos and threes just can't match up against some of these Power 5 teams they play. They still got Notre Dame and Arkansas coming up. Those are going to be tough games.
Jeremiah Jensen joining us here on Unrivaled as we break down some of the weekend here. So now you move on to a couple of different things. BYU now hosts Wyoming, who stopped the most potent running offense in the entire country this last weekend and beat Air Force.
Sure, it was a nice win.
Sure, it was in Laramie, but they schemed and they figured it out, and a team who the previous 2 weeks had averaged 550 yards on the ground, averaged in those first two games, then were shut down and ended up – I mean, they have to – I think when I was listening to Houston today, and we're going to talk with Jaron – in our players club tomorrow, and I'm interested to see what he sees in that defense, because they had film. They're watching film immediately after the game on Wyoming, because one, it's the best way to move on from that Oregon loss, because the last thing you want to do is keep watching that film. But you've got to figure out this team that one just wants to beat the heck out of BYU. They see a vulnerability that they go, hey, we can come into your place and embarrass you on a one-off game. We don't know when the next time we're going to play BYU is going to be, and this Wyoming team must be a little bit scary for BYU, because they kind of don't know. They sort of probably just reset themselves this weekend and go, we thought we knew who we were, and now we're questioning all those things.
BYU has to be ready to go on Saturday. Craig Bohl is a great coach. He does more with less than just about any coach in FBS.
Yeah.
Think about all the transfers that program lost last year, and here they are being competitive again. That Air Force win was huge. Air Force was picked to finish second in the Mountain Division of the Mountain West Conference. So there's a lot of hype behind Air Force, and they were able to get it done. And for BYU, I look at this game, and I think BYU is going to be a humble group because of this loss to Oregon. I think they're going to be angry and frustrated. We'll see if some of these guys that were hurt get back. But I think that this is a good opportunity for BYU to get back on track at home against a team that I think is going to present some challenges. But talent-wise, BYU is far superior. And so if BYU has the right mindset and they get healthier going to this matchup, they should have no trouble with Wyoming.
What do you make of the mess that's at Arizona State and the firing of Herm Edwards?
It's overdue. I think they should have made that decision previous to the season even starting.
We thought it was going to be previous to last season.
I think they should have done it then too. Once the allegations about the recruiting violations came about,
and when they started firing a bunch of his assistants, and you go,
what are you doing? Why are you hanging on to this? This obviously isn't working. And I think that Arizona State held on because of pride, because I think that the athletic director had a lot of personal vested interest in this working. And I think the athletic director is now going to be looked at with scrutiny.
Yeah.
Like, why did you allow this to go on for 5 years? It just wasn't working. And you knew, who had to have known that things weren't being done properly within the program. So Arizona State is now suffering because they waited too long to make this decision. And you know how it is. You know, maybe it lasts a week or whatever, but when a coach is fired or something like that, the team can go one of either two directions, right? They're either going to rally around the situation and go out and play for each other, or they're just going to give up. I don't know what's going to happen on Saturday. It's kind of a weird situation for Utah because they can't worry about any of that. They just got to be focused on getting better. They have their own challenges. They need and own things they need to improve on and get better at. I expect them to go down there and steamroll, and I think they should steamroll this team. I think that Arizona State's a team that if they give them the business in the first quarter, they'll lie down and quit.
Jeremiah Jensen, KSL5 television. You can, of course, see him on our KSL Sports Live on TV. He and Sam Farnsworth hosting that thing and do a great job. What's going on tonight? We got two Monday Night Football games that are taking our attention, right?
We are spoiled tonight. This NFL weekend has been awesome, and it just won't quit. So two great games tonight. How fun are the Buffalo Bills? I love watching that team. Josh Allen's great, speaking of the Wyoming Cowboys. So I look forward to that. We'll also hear from Kalani and Kyle today as they get ready for some games this weekend. So.
All right. Looking forward to it.
So are you secretly pulling for the Detroit Lions?
Absolutely. Okay. I always pull for the underdog.
All right.
I think they played really well yesterday.
Yeah.
If your mantra is I always pull for the underdogs, then you are the biggest Detroit Lions fan on the planet.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way.
The permanent underdogs.
Yeah. I'm interested to see if, I don't know, did we see that, is Britton Covey going to be returning punts again today for?
Still on the active 53, right?
There you go.
So I think he's got that role, and I think he did pretty well last week.
Monday night is his game to break out.
That would be pretty fun. Look out for Britton tonight.
It will be cool. You know, it was funny because the Eagles fans are so gun-shy about punt returns because they have just muffed. They've muffed like four punts in the last last season. They muffed four or five punts. They have like 11 over the last like four seasons, and so
they have some PTSD.
They're all nervous about what's going on. So when he got put, he had one of his own guys pushed into him, and everybody's like, "He's not going to catch this thing," and he just caught it without even thinking about it. It was pretty amazing.
Bryn's a ball magnet.
We'll chat with you again, JJ. Thanks for hanging out here. Hey, join us tomorrow. By the way, we're going to be at Dish Pro. At the Dish Pros in I think it's in Midvale, right? That's where technically the location is. So, yeah, we're going to be at the Dish Pros in Midvale. We're going to have the RV from General RV there as part of the Unrivaled Tour, which means you can enter to win BYU tickets as well while we're there. And we've got all sorts of things going on. So come see us tomorrow at Dish Pros there in Midvale, and you'll be able to take a tour of Scott's RV as well. So come down, hang out with us. That's where we'll be tomorrow. From 3 to 6 right here on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. More to go right here. Stay with us.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.